Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. It's Thursday night, which means tomorrow night, or it might be tonight. We're entering the Eastern time zone right now as we speak. Tonight, Friday night, and then the weekend. And
what have you got planned?
What do I have planned? I don't know what I have. I'll tell you what I got planned. I got planned the as little as possible of motion and movement. I had a birthday weekend that just took it out of me, man. I don't know. I maybe it was just, I don't think I drank that much more tequila, but for whatever reason, I just did not have the energy here early on in the week, even though we had a three-day weekend. So I'll try and maybe I'll just drink beer. I don't know what it was.
What'd you do different that you would not ordinarily have done?
Well, I mean, I had, what? What did you say?
No, what did you say? Well, it's a big English, man.
I said, what'd you do different than what you ordinarily would not have had it done?
What did I do differently
that you wouldn't ordinarily not have had it done?
Jeez. Well,
I drank some beer called, it was a red beer. It was a Denmark red. And it was good, but I'm not ordinarily a beer drinker. I am starting to sound like the late David Brinkley, aren't I? Well, no, what I'm saying...
I noticed that, yes.
No, I had some beer, and then I sat and I listened to a guy. I was at a hotel north of the city. It was great. And I listened to some cat who was like a Sinatra. He was a lounge singer guy, you know, only a very calculated lounge singer. And by that, I mean he was singing in this New Jersey sort of drawl, and it was all Sinatra stuff, and okay, he had black hair.
So you're saying, basically, without using the words that the late John Marley used in The Godfather, olive oil charm.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you saw Dimas, and you go, he had dark hair.
He was Italian, okay, but so?
Well, you're talking about when John Marley said, and I'm only quoting him, with all of his Guinea charm. What are you... Let the record show Phil Henry's laughing. I'm not.
No. God! Can't I say anything here without turning it into a...
God, Jerry, that's racism.
Oh, stop, will you? She's quoting the movie. John Marley, who played the... Isn't that the actor's name?
Yes, it's the actor's name. A wonderful actor. Frank knew him very well. A great actor.
Yeah, John Marley, he played the producer, Mr. Waltz. That's it. Mr. Waltz. And Mr. Waltz had a real problem with Johnny Fontaine, you know, the singer, as played by the late, great Al Martino, who, you may not know this, I know it because I'm a part of the Al Martino fan club. Al Martino is a veteran of the United States Navy and saw action in the South Pacific. In fact, Al Martino, the singer, you may not know this, the guy who sang, you know, Blue Spanish Eyes and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful singer. A handsome man as well.
Yeah. He was shot right through the hand on Mount Suribachi.
Where's that?
Iwo Jima. Ever heard of it?
Well, yeah, that's World War II.
Yes. That's where they put the flag up, man. Don't you ever seen the flag?
Oh, yeah, the soldiers?
Well, not just soldiers, Marines. They're pushing the flag up, and they're saying, you know, we took over. So Al Martino, the singer, before he was a famous singer, was a Navy signalman and was wounded there on Mount Suribachi. And I got, why was I saying that? Oh, yeah, Johnny Fontaine, the singer, Mr. Waltz, and, oh, yeah, that's what I did this past weekend.
Only you, Phil, can bring it to Mount Suribachi when you meant to talk about how much you got drunk this past weekend.
Right, you're right. That's got to be either a skill or something that's terribly wrong with me. Joining me this hour is Stephen Bozell. We spoke briefly about this at the beginning of the show. Mr. Bozell is a father. He is also a construction contractor. He's a husband and a man who is concerned with the schooling that his daughter is getting at C.K. Corona Middle School in Corona, California. But what I'd like to do this hour, Mr. Bozell, is I want to talk specifically about the issue between your wife and you with regards to her parents, your in-laws, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me exactly what happened, and this was over this past weekend, correct?
Yes, sir. I was speaking with my wife. She had informed me that her parents, I know both of them, Steve and Charlene Goodwin, they are my father and mother-in-law, that they were separating and that they were considering getting a divorce after 43 years. This struck me as very unfortunate. I felt bad, and I felt bad about it. And I told my wife that after 43 years, it was ridiculous for them to get a divorce. And she told me the reasons. I should say that I told her I thought it was ridiculous for them to get a divorce after she told me what the reasons was.
And what were those reasons?
I told you earlier, Mr. Henry, and that I didn't want to talk about it.
No, I know that, but we're not going to really make much headway on the topic.
I know that. The reason was that my father-in-law was seeing or was taking advantage of the services of a madam. He was seeing women, escorts, and so forth for sex.
So he was out cheating on your mother-in-law with prostitutes?
Yes, sir. Although I think today it's more acceptable to say it's an escort service. And Anthony Weiner and a great many others.
Well, Anthony Weiner, you're thinking of Elliot Spitzer, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elliot Spitzer, yeah. Anthony Weiner, though, did an escort service, didn't he?
No, sir, he did not. He was mailing out pictures of himself, his private parts, if you will, to women who had not necessarily been, asking for those pictures.
But I'm saying, wasn't he mailing them out to female escorts?
No, he was mailing them out to just women he was talking to on Twitter.
Okay, I thought...
You're thinking of Elliot Spitzer.
You're thinking of Elliot Spitzer, who was the attorney general for the state of New York. I don't know what the hell. Was he the governor? What the hell was Elliot Spitzer's job anyway?
He was the governor.
No, he wasn't. He was the attorney general, I think. In any event, Elliot Spitzer was caught and, yes, so and lost his, a step down from his job. So you feel that their marriage is salvageable. Why?
Because I think that after 43 years, Mr. Henry, 43 years of a marriage, when a man is loyal and faithful for 43 years of a marriage, and now, and only now, does she find out about him having the sexual, having the sexual escapades.
Escapades?
Escapades, yeah, that he had. I think it's throwing away the baby when all you want to do is throw out the bathwater. So you see what I'm saying? Throw away a baby when, you throw away a baby when you want to throw away a bathwater.
Mr. Bozell, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for joining us. Throwing away the baby with the bathwater, when a man so violates his vows of matrimony with a woman that he has sex with multiple partners... And also with a man, did you not say that he had cheated on your mother-in-law with a man?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Is your father-in-law gay?
No, he's not gay. Not at all. I asked him about it, and he said that he was taking a shot, that he was sampling the, he was just saying he's not gay. And I asked him, I said, how, why? And he said he'd been retired recently. He'd been wanting to try something. He'd been wanting to try it out and went ahead and took it, tried it out.
And but why was he cheating with all these women?
Well, same reason. I mean, he just wanted to try it out. He said he wanted to do it and check it out, and he didn't know he'd get caught.
And how was he caught, by the way?
I believe she found... I think that she found underwear and women's underwear and a number of incriminating things, women's underwear and other people's clothes and a purse and I think some earrings, something like that.
So this sounds like a man that wants to get caught.
It sounds like, it sounds like he wanted to get caught, Steve, because he was all this stuff that was found with him. We're going to get back to Steve Bozell and whether or not it is worth giving up on a marriage just because there has been infidelity. And I mean, let's face it, cheating with a number of prostitutes, that isn't just infidelity, man. That's a very, very serious rift, I think, in a marriage. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Stephen Bozell with us. I'm Phil Henry. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, and Mr. Stephen Bozell, along with Margaret Gray, myself, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard, as we discuss with Mr. Bozell the problem we were talking with him about at the beginning of the show, and that was the fact that his mother and father-in-law are getting divorced after 43 years.
And, Steve, this is Margaret. 43 years is a very long time. I understand that, but even after 43 years, don't you think there are some things that a woman should just not have to put up with?
Well, I agree with you, ma'am. I spoke to my father-in-law. I said, you had sex with these women, and he said I wanted to give it a shot.
What does that mean, he wanted to give it a shot? I still don't think you've explained that.
Yeah, well, and when he says he wants to give it a shot, was he saying he was being squeaky clean right up to that point?
He told me that all the years of their marriage, all the way, until finally he couldn't stand it any longer, and he wanted to go ahead and take... You know, go ahead and give it his, you know, go ahead and put it in there and see what comes out, you know. There's a way he put it. You have to understand my father-in-law is a very colloquial man. He's Knoxville, Tennessee. He's lived there his whole life. I'm not saying he's a hillbilly or anything, but I said, you know, you've been faithful to this woman and everything, and why would you do that? And he said, I want to, you know, run it up the flagpole, see if it flapped around. And so I got to respect that. I got to basic respect to a man that'll say, you know, I've been faithful and faithful and faithful until I can't stand it any longer, until my eyes are watering from it. And why can't I go ahead and go out and see, you know, if I put, you know, just put it out there and see if it comes back with scabs on it, you know? And
you know, I don't like the way that you put things.
You're using some rather crude terms.
Oh, forgive me. It's a southern term.
Put it out there till it comes back with scabs on it.
Well, I mean, all I was saying is that's what my father-in-law was saying.
All right, now how do you justify a guy like that who talks that way? How do you justify him before his wife and say, hey, you know, this is a marriage that's worth saving?
Well, I mean, I was talking to my wife, April, his daughter.
Because the two of you were having an argument, huh?
We were having a little bit of a disagreement. She was saying my parents are getting divorced, and that's all there is to it. And I said, what happened? She said my father went out and tried to bag some, you know, some scabs. She said, now it wasn't me. My wife said that her father tried to go bag some skank and all this. And
you know, the way you people talk in your home.
Well, you people. Well, that sounds almost hillbillyism.
What do you mean hillbillyism?
I'm not being bigot if that's what you're saying. I just think that there needs to be an elevation of the discourse in your home.
Oh, ma'am, I'm only telling you that, you know, we raise our children the best way we know how.
I'm not saying you're a bad parent. I'm just saying the way you communicate, and this could very well be the problem.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, what do I mean by that? What I mean is if his wife is saying that her father went out and nailed some skank or whatever he said, and Steve is saying that put it out there and see if it comes back with scabs on it. This doesn't speak well for the entire family.
All right, ma'am. I appreciate that. But we are what we are, you know.
Well, I think the question is there respect in this family? It sounds like there is.
Yes, there is, very much so.
And it sounds like that there's love, but it certainly doesn't sound like, in the case of your father-in-law, that he doesn't value his marriage anymore.
Well, you know, I tried to talk to my mother-in-law about it. I talked to Charlene. I said, now, Charlene, you know, just ease down a little bit here, girl, and tell me what happened. She said that Steve come out here 2 weeks ago, Friday night, went out catting around, come back with a whole case of it. I had to launder it. I had to take it out and burn it in the backyard. And
What does that mean? She had to burn his clothes?
No. Those are just colloquialisms.
Could you that's what I thought. So that doesn't really mean she was burning clothes.
No, in the South, when you say you had to take it out and burn it, that means that he come home smelling of it, you know, and that means that...
Does it mean that he was cheating on her?
Yes, it does, sir.
All right, let's use those terms, okay?
What are you talking about smelling on it?
Listen, man, you know, I got my hands full talking to the host and lady without talking to some guy that put his head in it, you know, and I don't want to know what you put your head in, but...
Put it into a tree.
Yeah, okay, whatever you say.
He did.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to talk to the guy. You say he put his head through a tree? Okay, fine. My information is different.
Well, wow, what's that mean?
What do you mean your information's different?
I got information this guy stuck his head in something, but it wasn't a tree.
Oh, what? You trying to say it's about sex?
Maybe.
All right, let's knock off all of this bullcrap and get back to what it is. Good Lord. Where are you getting your information?
Well, there's a kid. Don't you know that Collins kid who was just talking on the radio?
Yeah. He's a liar if he said anything.
Okay, I don't want to talk about any of this. So getting back to your problem with your wife, you believe that this is a marriage worth saving?
I absolutely do. Any marriage that's lasted 43 years, Mr. Henry, any marriage that has had two people in it that have had and shown commitment of 43 years of raising up a daughter, two daughters, in the case of April and her younger sister. This man is a retired worker, a mill worker, raised these two children and his wife, and they bought a beautiful piece of property. I've seen their property now. They got 27 acres on a gorgeous lake outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. They have a beautiful beautiful home and everything like that, and they're both retired. And they've loved each other very dearly and deeply all low the many years. And I've respected them, and I've been a guest in the home. I was a guest there when April and I split up. We had a very rough patch, and I was a guest at their home, and I slept in the barn because of the situation whereby April didn't know I'd gone there, so they made me stay out there.
Well, I don't understand. Why?
Because April didn't know I was there.
You went out to your in-laws after you and April split up?
Yes, sir.
And you slept in the barn?
Yes, sir, because they didn't want her to know that I was there.
Okay, all right.
And you think that's generous?
Yeah, better than my own parents treated me. When I went to my own parents' house looking for a place to stay, my father, I got dirt clods thrown at me. I was trying to pull into the driveway, and my old man opened up with a hose.
What is that? You know, you got a very interesting family here, Mr. Wozell. You tried to stay at your own home, your own parents.
Yeah, my father turned a garden hose on me as soon as I got out of the car, and then my mother started throwing dirt clods. You know.
Why?
They're nuts. They're crazy. I mean, they think I stole money. And I did not. It was money that was mine that they had opened up an account for me, and I went ahead and took it out of their account because they had spent all my money.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, see, this is where it all starts.
No. My parents are... What do you mean this is where it all starts?
So there was a money hassle with you and your parents, and I guess they don't want to see you anymore.
Well, it sounds to me like they've gone completely insane. My father opens up a garden. He opens up on me with a garden hose with the attachment. Yeah.
All right, well, for me to sort out your life, and I'm starting to lose my temper, for me to sort your life out, Mr. Bozell, is going to take another half hour, and I don't want to do this. All we're talking about is your in-laws right now, and we're talking about this this infidelity on the part of your father-in-law. He was sleeping with prostitutes, one of whom was a man. Your mother-in-law found out. She wants to file for divorce, and you haven't said anything on this show, to my way of thinking, that mitigates that at all, even though you think they shouldn't get a divorce.
No, sir, I don't think they should get... I told you, 43 years of marriage?
You, not even with 43 years of marriage, have you said anything to me that makes me think that divorce isn't the best route? You're talking about this man, the way your family talks, pull it out there, put it out there and see if it comes back with scabs, let it fly it in the breeze and see if it flaps around, you know.
Well, okay, so you think... He's talking about a penis.
I was talking about the flag flap, not a penis.
Okay, but just the way you people put things, all right? And the level of intelligence here is not the highest, so it's hard for me to come back with any opinion other than support for your mother-in-law. Now you're telling me about your own parents, the fact that you and April split. How's your marriage with your wife, if you don't mind me asking?
My marriage with my wife was great until this, and I was telling my wife my opinion, and
Slow down.
Right. That's when my daughter went back to CK Corona and told Erica Dorton, who's the mouth breather, you heard her, and she called up the house and breathed into the phone again.
What kind of a principal do you have at a school there that calls up the parents of the students to intimidate them by breathing into the phone? What is that?
My understanding is she's been doing that for, it's time-tested. She was Teacher of the Year 5 years running in the, I think, 1970 through 1972.
5 years running?
Yes, ma'am.
1970 to 1972, that's 3 years.
All right, okay, all right, 3 years, I guess. She said 5 years.
Okay, what were the years?
I told you, 1970 to 1972.
All right, hold on. we got a guy here that either he's nuts, he's as goofy as any of the people he's talking about. I'll tell you what he ought to do. Before he starts telling people how to run their marriages, what he ought to do is get himself a CAT scan. You know, get himself a...
What's that?
I mean, he needs his electroencephalogram. He needs to have his brain waves read. That's how goofy he is. Phil Henry Show here. Our number is 855-507-445. Back with more from Mr. Stephen Bozell and the story of his in-laws getting a divorce after 43 years, even though his father-in-law slept with prostitutes, one of whom was a man, and came back with some kind of a disease. I don't know. The Phil Henry Show. Henry Show here at the El Pacifico each and every night. News Talk and Entertainment Radio that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Funny is her sister.
Yeah, your sister.
I didn't say anything about your sister. We're on the line here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as he continues talking with us about the very unfortunate, well, I think it's very unfortunate, the unfortunate divorce of his in-laws, a father-in-law and a mother-in-law that have been married for some 43 years. It's a long time, Mr. Bozell. I understand what you're saying. God knows there aren't enough couples today that remain married that long.
Who are the people that you know that have been married the longest?
My friends Don and Pam have been married 30-plus years now. I mean, I was the best man. 30-plus years.
You ought to be the best man in a lot of...
What are you stuttering, man?
Shut up, bud, okay?
Sorry, I'm just very nervous, sir.
You're doing fine.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
I was just going to say, maybe you should be the best man at the weddings. Maybe that's good luck, Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bozell. I don't think it is, but that's a very nice thought. It's nice to know, you know, 30 years. I've known a few, but it's not just about loving somebody, I don't think. I mean, not that I've been married any great length. I was married 9 years. And I'll tell you, it's more than love. It takes a lot more than love, my man. So if you think it's all about, well, I love her, Charlie, if you think that's all it takes, man, you're in big, deep, dark, serious trouble. Steve, getting back to your father-in-law, here's a guy that cheated on your mother-in-law with prostitutes.
Well, you know, I want to get back to the point you've made, Mr. Henry. He was very much in love with my mother-in-law, and I, you know, to me, they're the ideal, because as I said, my own parents, last time I went to the house, my father turned a garden hose on me, and my mother sprayed, Raid and everything.
Your mother sprayed Raid on, what the hell did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Well, no, wait a second, we're talking about the money.
Oh, that's right.
No, you got that wrong.
Well, there's an amount of money that you said is exchanging hands there, and it doesn't sound like you guys are going to agree on just how that money exchanged hands. But the fact is that you have as your ideal your in-laws.
Yes, my in-laws always were the people that, to me, and my mother-in-law walked in on Steve, who's my father-in-law, and he was engaged in sex acts with these women. And the man who was in question, who was... I don't believe he was engaged in a sex act with him at that time, but he was in the room. Apparently he was encouraging or doing some kind of bizarre cheerleading or something. You know.
And your mother-in-law saw all of this?
She did, yes. She walked in on him. It was a Saturday afternoon. She was supposed to be out, said she was going grocery shopping, and he said he wanted to watch a football game.
Wait a minute. Hold on. He wanted to watch a football game.
Well, Phil, there's no reason to pick through the filth.
No, I just got to know. How was this done? He said that he wanted to watch a football game.
Yeah, that's what he told her. So he figured that she'd think he was watching a football game, so she'd take her time. He got on the phone. He rounded up these prostitutes and said to bring Red, and that was code for the guy.
So wait. This guy, this father-in-law that you admire so much, while the wife is off grocery shopping, and he tells her he's watching a football game, he rounded up all the prostitutes.
What's so funny, Phil?
Well, no, I'm laughing at the stupidity of this guy.
Mr. Henry, that's my father-in-law you're talking about. I respect that man.
Well, you know what? I would hasten to warn you, admonish you, this guy is not to be respected.
Well, why do you say that?
Think about it, man.
Talk about that. The guy's calling up prostitutes.
I told you all about that. I told you that he admitted to it.
What, he admitted to it? She walked in on it. First of all, the guy's got the brains of a squirrel. If he thinks that he's going to round up all these prostitutes and red, that's code for the guy, huh?
Yes, sir. That was code for it. Mr. Henry, if he's paying for it.
Well, if he's paying for it, that's one thing. But don't you think that buyer beware, meaning you should know how to use the product?
I believe he was used to product pretty damn right, because when Charlene walked in, there was a daisy chain going. She said that there was a daisy chain.
All right, we don't need to know the specifics of this thing.
Well, I mean, Ms. Gray, you said he didn't know how to use the product.
I didn't mean literally. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Well, when she walked in and she wrote down in the journal for the attorney, daisy chain, I can't say it. Can I say 6'9"?
Okay, I got the idea that this guy was pretty heavily engaged.
Yes, sir, and the mail that I thought the mail was there, and the mail was, he was chanting some kind of a sex chant, and he had a tambourine or something.
Well, this is getting so unseemly.
Sam, I'm just telling you that he was upfront and honest about it.
No, he was not upfront and honest about it. No, he wasn't.
How do you figure?
You know what, Mr. Bozell? I don't think even after listening to you for the last 40 minutes or so that even you can be this stupid. Why are you saying...
There's no reason to call me stupid.
Why are you saying that this guy was upfront when she goes out to the grocery store, he says, I'm going to watch a ball game.
He lied about that.
Oh, well, lied. He brings in... How many women were in there?
In the bedroom?
Yes. How many prostitutes?
There were five or six.
Not counting Red, the guy?
No, not counting Red, there were six.
My God, so he's got five women in the home in their marital bed while she's grocery shopping. And this man thinks he's not going to be found out. And of course he is found out because she walks in on this. And she wants to divorce him. I agree with Phil. You haven't said one thing in this entire hour that mitigates this imbecile's behavior. And I underline the word imbecile.
Well, I just, if you knew Steve, you know.
If I knew Steve.
Yes, sir. That's my father-in-law. Not Steve Bozell. That's me. And not Steve Dooley. That's the other guy that you have on the show. This is Steve Goodwin.
Oh, great. Steve Goodwin. Well, great. I won't have him on the show. There's no reason to.
Well, he's a very colorful man, has very interesting stories to tell.
Oh, I'm sure he does. But he sounds like a boob. He really does.
Yeah, it sounds like he hasn't got it together. He's got to get it together.
He's got it further more together than you do.
What do you mean further more? That don't even make any sense.
I'm saying he's got way more together than you do, Dickman. And compared to him, he's Albert Einstein compared to you.
Yeah, well, I'm not so dumb I won't tell somebody to go grocery shopping. I'm going to be in there with a guy and five women and daisy chaining it. You know what? Whatever you got in your mouth, you better spit it out.
Hey, you know something? Just because I talk like I'm all scared and everything, I can get angry too.
Yeah, what year? You're the stupidest guy.
All right, hold on.
You said I could talk.
Yeah, and you're done talking.
Well, I don't see how it is you expect me to engage some guy that put his head through whatever he says he put his head through.
It was a tree, Mr. Bozell. Why do you have a hard time with that?
I have a hard time. I'm listening to this guy, and I heard he stuck his head willingly into something.
He stuck his head willingly into something. Well, if you got that from R.C. Call... okay, so let's take some phone calls here. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're talking about marriages. Should they be saved? Can they not be saved? At what point is a marriage not to be saved? 855-500-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And, you know, I think that I respect marriage. I do not like divorce, especially the effects that it has on other members of the family. But sometimes it's just the indicated thing. Karen, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, we're all enjoying the program. We're driving back home tonight. And we were up visiting Jerry's relatives, and Herb wanted to say something. Herb?
Bill, this is great, and I'm driving, so I can't get on the phone. It's great.
And Jerry's here. Jerry, honey.
Hey, Bill, listen, don't let anyone tell you just because a Southerner has had it very difficult that we are not people that cannot be put down, and I think that this man represents the South very poorly.
And let me talk. I want to talk to Phil because I haven't talked to my boyfriend, Phil Henry. I love you so much, Phil. And you just bring such joy to our lives.
Well, thank you very much, Karen.
You're talking tonight. I don't want to interrupt because I want to talk about a topic. But, what are you talking about tonight? Because I want Herb to hear this.
We're talking about the fidelity that should be in a marriage. We're talking about Mr. Bozell's, you know, his in-laws.
And Margaret, this is Karen.
Hello, dear.
I know you don't like me, but I love you.
Well, you're very kind.
I love you. I love Phil. We are big Phil Henry fans. Okay, I'm done. What did they say on the... What did they say on the camera?
They say I'm out.
I'm out. Okay, dear, I'm out.
All right, thank you very much. Again, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Let's go over to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us tonight. It's nice to be with you, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Phil. Phil Henry.
Yeah, Jay, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very good. Jay Santos here. I want to talk to you, Ms. Bozell, about the sex problem. Was there a security problem on the line? Roger.
I don't know, sir. Are you talking to me?
This is Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. You said you had someone who, there was a collection of 669 or something?
Well, Jay, this is Phil Henry. You're calling my show.
I understand that, Mr. Henry. I thought this gentleman had internal security.
Why are you thinking this is a... We're talking about marriage.
I understand that.
Jay, this is Margaret. We're talking about marriage and emotions. We're not talking about a security need of any kind.
Well, I understand that, but this gentleman said that a woman walked in on his father-in-law while he was daisy-chained, and we thought that with a certain recommendation, we'd come out and do a security check on that.
I don't know, sir, that you could do a security... What do you mean by security check?
Well, I think, sure, there are things that can be done in any home where a man is so engaged with prostitute. If you've got, for instance, head to... If both the heads are opposite, you understand what I'm saying? If his head and her head are on opposite end of the bed, and, see, that's embarrassing. And you're going to have butt up. And so all I was trying to say...
All right, thanks very much, Jay, for the call.
It's a free security check, sir, and you can, I'll tell you what to do, 30 days.
All right, thanks a lot for that. That's great. That's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't know what it is you're trying to pull here, bud, but how about screening some phones, okay?
I am screwing a phone. People messing it up.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous. Man, we're getting less world famous as the days go by here with this stuff. Stephen Bozell and his father-in-law and mother-in-law, never the twain shall meet. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's got something to do with daisy chaining it and a security check. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Be right back. Sorry, I'm trying to do five things at once because I don't get any help in here.
I'm going to try to help.
You ain't helping nobody, man, okay?
But he wanted to find out.
I'll do it. Phil Henry Show here. Thank you very much, Mr. Bozell. We got rid of Steve and Jay. When things began to devolve into an area of we do security checks so you can daisy chain with prostitutes and not get caught by your wife, it becomes...
Well, he didn't. He said tag team.
Oh, well, that's great. Tag team. What difference does it make?
Don't yell at me. I'm correcting your assumption. Your assumptions?
Margaret.
No. Don't yell at me when these degenerates that you invite onto your program get something wrong. Now, that scum, Mr. Santos, is that his name?
Scum, huh?
Yeah, the scum you just had on, Santos?
Yeah.
He said that he does security checks if you're tag teaming.
Oh, okay, well.
Oh, so you're being a smartass, is that it?
Well, but you know what? At this point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Bozell, if you're listening to me, sir, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Your father-in-law is a real idiot, and your mother-in-law is a bigger idiot than either one of you if she takes him back. There. Does that make things nice and clear for you? And by the way, if the headmistress at my kid's school called me up late at night and breathed into the phone like she... Buddy, I wouldn't go to the school board. I'd go to her house with a torch and a pitchfork. Man.
Would you really?
No, not really. All right, so there was a little bit of a, it's not a controversy, but something that I started this afternoon on, as we say, Facefoot, or...
I call it Facebutt.
Okay, Facebutt, if you want. Facebook. And I said that the movie Strangers... See, I'm a big Kim Novak fan. Not that, you know, it doesn't make me 100 years old, but I'm going to tell you right now that you got to go a long way in modern filmdom to beat just how beautiful Kim Novak at her peak was. Just a knockout, man. She was gorgeous. Now, there's a lot of beautiful women in movies today. Don't get me wrong. And there's a lot of gorgeous women in film and television today. But Kim, I don't think one of them surpasses Kim Novak. She was like unreal how beautiful she was. And she wasn't a half bad actress either. But this isn't really about her. This is about the movie Strangers When We Meet. Now, when she was in this flick, she was in with the great Kirk Douglas. Now, the movie is actually pretty good. It's about a middle-class couples and their infidelities. And Kirk Douglas falls in love with Kim Novak. They're married to other people. And Kirk Douglas is married to a woman who your heart breaks for her because he leaves her and she cries. And the whole thing is just terrible. But in the film, he plays an architect. And he's looking to build his dream house. And the dream house that Kirk Douglas wants to build is this all redwood house, I guess up in the mountains, because there's only one time that I remember seeing the film, seeing the house completely finished, that is built, after he finished it. And it's like at the end of the movie, it's at the climax of the film. I think she comes to visit him and she sees the house that he's built and she you know, compliments him. She says, "You finally did it. You finally built your dream house." And then they show you this redwood house that he built, and it's the biggest garbage can.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It's the biggest garbage can I've ever seen.
That redwood home in Strangers When We Meet?
Yeah, it's an atrocity. If houses were war crimes, that house would swing from the gallows.
Ah, isn't that funny? You obviously don't know a thing about homes.
I'm telling you, it looks horrid. It's all red, all redwood. In fact, the funny thing about this house is there's a pool, and the pool deck is redwood. Now, look, I like redwood as far as it goes. I think it's an endangered wood now, isn't it?
What do you mean an endangered wood?
It's a redwood tree. You've heard of them. We don't have them all over the place. There's few of them.
Yeah, but they're big and everything, and they grow big.
They grow big. You heard him.
Oh, they grow big. Well, that's great. It only takes them thousands of years to grow big. In any event, the guy makes this redwood house. I think I've actually got a picture of it. This doesn't do it justice. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, there's Kim Novak. She's coming through the door looking just like a knockout. God, boy, what a beauty. Anyway, there she is, and this is the red, and then behind her there is Kirk Douglas, and there's the redwood house. I'm telling you, I couldn't stand a look at this thing. It wrecked the whole flick.
See, Phil and I had this discussion earlier, and you've decided to go to the audience with it now. It wasn't enough that I kicked your ass in the argument. You're now taking your case to the audience.
You didn't kick my... Where do you get off thinking you kicked my ass?
I made the point architecturally, culturally, artistically, the validity. Do you know the word validity?
Yes, I think so.
All right. The validity of that look in that home. Now, you're there in that picture right there. If you can't see the absolute subtlety and the beauty of the lines, and with Kim Novak setting the whole thing off, you'd have to be a blind man. Or so cynical, you would lift your leg to a blind man not to see the beauty in that.
You know where I see the beauty?
Well, let me guess. Kim Novak?
Yeah, there's the beauty. That's the only part of that picture that's beautiful, is her. The house is fine. It ain't the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not the most, knockout thing. And when I first saw, I'm telling you right now, folks, when I first saw this redwood house, I almost busted out laughing.
Laughing?
Yeah, laughing. I almost went, ha, 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 look at how asinine that, oh, wait a minute, they're serious.
So you don't know really anything about the elegance of living, do you?
I guess not. No, I guess I don't.
What are you talking about, elegance of living? Stupid house made out of, you're not supposed to have a pool deck out of wood.
Says who?
Everybody knows you make it out of concrete.
Well, look, let me tell you something about a wood pool deck. Not that I have a swimming pool.
No, you just have the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, a block away, okay?
Oh, well.
Look, last time I checked, I can't sit in the Pacific Ocean as a jacuzzi, okay? It doesn't just heat up like that, huh? Okay?
You don't have to rub it in.
No, you know, Margaret, you go home and you sit in that jacuzzi and you're sitting in your spa and you're loving life. And see, the Pacific Ocean doesn't do that for me. In any event... Now I forgot what I was saying.
Talking about how bad, like a pool deck.
Yeah, that you got a redwood pool deck. All you're getting out of that are splinters.
I'm sure they treat the pool deck with some kind of chemical that makes it so it doesn't splinter. What an oaf. You'd think, Phil, like an oaf. You think like a big, dumb, axe-wielding, deformed oaf.
What do you mean, axe-wielding?
Like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I got this whole thing. I thought it's because I was thinking about Kim Novak.
What's the whole deal about Kim Novak?
She's gorgeous, you blind man. I was watching her in a movie one night. I said, you know, this one I said, you know, because I don't have this feeling about too many other actors from that era, you know. But I said, man, that woman is freaking beautiful. And I said, I haven't seen anybody, you know, she's like a movie star, man.
You know that Kim Novak is still alive?
I think so, yeah.
And she, well, what do you mean you think so?
No, I thought she is still, she's alive.
Yes, and she lives in Oregon. And she's got, I don't know if it's her or Doris Day. Which is which?
If you don't know, I ain't going to tell you.
I'm a woman, Phil. I'm not sitting at home going, oh, 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 Doris.
All right, fine. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening. We will be back. Well, we'll be back sooner or later sometime. We'll be back tomorrow night. How about that? Or tonight, as the case may be. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Strangers when we meet.
She's about good looking. You put a guy with an axe.
What?